Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Chof Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to Option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins in the middle of Daf Chof Ches at the Mishnah. You will find it at the 11th wide line. The Mishnah, the Ad Mosai Chayov Lahachriz, one who finds an item, how long or until when is he expected to announce his finding? So we have the opinion of first Rabbi Meir and then Rabbi Yehuda. Ad Kedei Shiedu Boi Shchenov, Divrei Rabbi Meir. Here we'll just translate, the Gemara will clarify though. Until his neighbors know about it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shalosh Regalim, over the course of three of the holidays, the three pilgrimage holidays, Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos, Ve'achar HaRegel Ho'achron Shiva Yomim, and after the last of the three holidays, the announcement continues for 7 days, Kedei Sheyelech Lebeso Shlosha, so that all the people have a chance to go back to their homes, that it'll take them 3 days. The Yachzor Shlosha, and after checking out their homes, whether or not anything is missing, then he who finds that something is missing will then the Yachzor Shlosha. It'll take him 3 days to get back. The Yachriz Yom Echad, and one day he will announce, I lost such and such an item, and these are the signs. The details of this Mishnah will be explained in the Gemara quite a bit more than the mere translation that we've just provided. Now the Gemara. The Braisa that you see here says, Tana Shchene Aveda. In our Mishnah, Rabbi Meir said that the announcement takes place until the for enough time for the neighbors to know about it. And the Braisa says, which neighbors? Neighbors of the Aveda. My Shchene Aveda. Well, what do you mean, neighbors of the Aveda, of the lost item? Ilema Shchenim Debal Aveda. If we are to explain that as the neighbors of the one who lost the item, well, if he knows who the neighbors of the owner of the lost item are, well, then he knows who the owner of the lost item itself is. Lezel v'lahadre niale, then just go and give it back to him. So you can't explain that Shchene Avedo means the neighbors of the owner of the one who lost the item. Otherwise, you wouldn't have to go through a whole procedure of until when do you make the announcement. Just go and give it back to the owner of the item. Elo Shchene Mokim Shenimtseis Bo Avedo. The announcement is made over the course of enough time for all those in the vicinity of where the item was found become aware of a lost item having been found. And the thinking is that maybe the lost item belongs to one of them, one of those people living in the vicinity of where the lost item was recovered. Rabbi Omer, and in our Mishnah we saw Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, and he mentioned, and after the last holiday for 7 days, enough time for someone to go to his house over three, you know, take him 3 days to go from where it was, where the announcement took place, And it'll take him 3 days to get to where he is. And that's after the last holiday. The scenario, as the Mishnah presents it, is that the announcement of the finding of the lost item took place in Yerushalayim, in Jerusalem, where all the people assembled as a part of the thrice annual requirement of appearing in Yerushalayim, the thrice annual pilgrimage to Yerushalayim. Following the last holiday, an announcement was made concerning, again, the repeat announcement concerning the finding of a lost article, and as Rabbi Yehuda presents things, it'll take the population 3 days to get from Jerusalem to the longest trip that any of them will take would be 3 days, and that will enable them to get back to their house at the extreme distance from Jerusalem where people might be living, and then they'll check out their homes if there's anything missing. So the focus right now is on the three-day journey. Is that all? V'ramina, we raise as a contradiction, b'shloisha b'marcheshvan shoylim es hakshomim. Following the holiday of Sukkot, with the onset of the rainy season in Eretz Israel, so there are different opinions in this Tanaic source as to when we start our prayer request for rains. We don't want to request rains while people are still journeying from their Sukkot appearance in Yerushalayim back home. So the first opinion says on the third of Mar Cheshvan, on the third of the holiday of Cheshvan, we start our request for rains in the Shmoneh Esrei. Rabbi Gamliel Omer B'Shiva Bo. Rabbi Gamliel says on the seventh of Cheshvan is the time for beginning that prayer. And what's the significance of the seventh of Mar Cheshvan? Tes Vav Yom Achar HaChag. It represents 15 days after the Chag. The Chag is Sukkot. That's enough time for the furthest Jew, furthest meaning one, geographically speaking, furthest from Jerusalem, to get from Yerushalayim back home to his home on the Euphrates River. It's a 15-day journey, and it won't be caught in the rains that we want to request. What's the question, though? So you notice with our markings, we've dashed underlined Tes Vav Yom, and in that which appears between the lines, the line above that, we have Lebeisei Shloisha, is also dashed underlined. So we have to make up our minds. According to our Mishnah, it takes only 3 days for the furthest Jew to reach his home. According to this Mishnah from Maseches Tainis, it takes 15 days. Diamonds begin appearing in our Gemara, and if you allow your eye to scan ahead, you'll see three of them. And on the side of the Gemara, we have our Mivneh, our structural note, a diamond appears. Three tshuvos, liyashev es astira b'noisei midas hamerchuk, three answers to resolve the seeming contradiction regarding geographic distance, bein Yerushalayim, l'sof yishuv ha-Yehudi, till the end of the furthest reaches of the Jewish Jewish community, Jewish settlement. So Omar Rav Yosef, we continue in our Gemara. The first approach, Lo Kashya, there is no contradiction between these two Tanaic sources, Kan B'Mikdash Rishon, Kan B'Mikdash Sheni, and the Gemara explains that there is a difference between the first Beis Hamikdash period and the second Beis Hamikdash period. B'Mikdash Rishon, the Nefesh Yisrael Tuva, in the first Beis Hamikdash, when the Jewish population was great, Dichtiv Behu, regarding that era, it says, Yehuda v'Yisrael Rabim Kechil Asher Al Hayam L'Roiv. Bo'inon Kulehai, the Pasuk describes the Jewish population as being like the sand of the sea, and therefore such a great amount of time, namely 15 days, is required. B'Mikdash Sheni, the Lo Nefesh Yisrael Tuva, in the second temple period when the Jewish population in Israel was not very great, Dichtiv Behu, regarding the size of the Jewish population at the beginning of the second temple, it says, Kol HaKol Kechon arba ribo alofim shalosh meos v'shishim. That's 40. 4 ribo is 4 times 10,000. Arba ribo alofim. And then, so you have 40,360 people. A small Jewish population. Lo bo'inon kulihai. So not that much time was required. 3 days was enough to go from Yerushalayim to the furthest reaches of the Jewish community in the Second Temple period. Omar le Abaye. The Hoksiv Abaye asks, but does it not say in the regarding the Second Temple period, Vayeshvu Hakayanim Valavim, Vahamashurim, Vashurim, Vahoyisrael Boreim? The Pasuk indicates that in the second Beis HaMikdash, the Jewish population was scattered and quite distant from Yerushalayim as originally. So that you can't make a distinction between first and second temple period when the distance seems to be the same. Maybe the population was smaller, but as far as distance is concerned, the Jewish population in the Second Temple was just as distant from Jerusalem. In other words, the far reaches of the Jewish population was just as far away as in the First Temple period. V'kevon dehochi hu, and since that's the case, namely, great distance with limited population, ipcha mistabro, then, logically speaking, the time difference between the first and second temple periods is the opposite. Mikdash Rishon DeNefesh Yisrael Tuva. In the first temple, when there was we'll say the Jewish population was great in multitudes, and hence there was a dense population. De Matzvis Alma, meaning they were a lot together. Umishtachi Shayarta Da'azli Bein B'Yomomo Ubein B'Layla. And it was common to find caravans traveling day and night. Lo bo'inon kulehai v'sagi b'tlosa yomi. Since there was a great amount of transportation and on a very frequent, constant basis, 3 days was enough during the first temple period to reach the furthest distance from Yerushalayim. Mikdash sheni delo nefish Yisrael tuva. Below Matzvis Alma, in the second temple period when the population was not great and the density was not pronounced, below Mishtakhi Shayarta Da'azli Bein B'Yomomo Bein B'Layla, and you would not find caravans traveling day and night, Bo'inon Kulehai, then we do require the 15-day amount of time for people to finally get home from Yerushalayim to their furthest, to their homes, those who were located furthest from Yerushalayim. So Abaye, coming on the heels of Rav Yosef, uses the same model of Rav Yosef, just switches around when was the greater amount of time required to go from Yerushalayim to reach the furthest distance. Rava Omar, lo shno b'mikdash rishon v'lo shno b'mikdash sheni. There is no distinction between first and second temple periods regarding our issue of how much time do we require announcements to be made for concerning lost items. The Rabbonan, lo hitchuchu Rabbonan b'avedo yosu midai. The Rabbonan did not want to trouble those who were trying to return items too much. Rashi says, just a couple lines down from here, lo hitrichu ze shehe sheya yoser mishiva yomim. We don't want to delay this person who's involved with be responsible for the return of the lost item to tarry more than 7 days. So that with regard to rain requests, that is one area of law, and that has its time frame. And as far as continuing announcements of lost articles after the holiday, after the series of holidays, that's another standard of time. And that's based on Lo Hitzrichu Rabbonim Avedo Yoser Midai. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have a new marking scheme and a Nosei Mivneh heading that you see on the side of the Gemara. These triangles represent Shnei Gishois, we'll see Ravina and Rava. Im Hachroza Suaveda Tzorich Lios Mifurat. Does the announcement of the lost item have to be a description in detail? Or it's enough for the announcement to state, I found an item, without detailing the identity or the nature of the item. The Gemara. Omar Ravina, Shma Mino. We can conclude from what we've learned that the time frame that was given was simply enough time for a person to go and come back. From that rule, ki machriz, when the announcement is made, glimo machriz, the announcement actually details the item found. We don't give the specific signs, but we describe the item, as opposed to saying a general phrase, an item was found, but rather the item is identified as a glima or whatever, but glima is a specific kind of garment. Rashi says glima machriz ze shemotza, the one who found it will say machriz shem chefetz, the name of the item, talis motzasi, for example. Lekach lo hutzruchu liten sheus yoyim echod lain bekelov ma ovad. Therefore, you don't need to give an extra day for the person to stay at home going through all of his articles to figure out what was lost. This, by saying, by the finder naming the item, the owner, ma sha'odom yodea kamo talisos yeshlo. If the finder says, I found a talis, the person upon getting home knows how many talisos he has. And when the owner gets home, he simply counts how many talisos he has, and if he finds one missing, he goes right back. That doesn't take any time. And in the time frame that we saw in the Mishnah, the last 7 days, which simply accounted for the travel time back home, 3 more days travel time to get back to Jerusalem, and then the 1 day simply to report your lost item, we don't have an extra day in that configuration to enable the owner to go through all of his different vessels and possessions. The e salka daitoch avedeto machriz. If you were to think that the announcement is one of a general nature, namely a lost item has been found, without naming the type of item it is, then boinon lemitfi le chad yoimo leyuni bemone. Lemitfi is a verb form of the word tfei, meaning more. We would be required to add 1 more day for the owner to go through all of his articles, and we don't do that. Elo shma mino. So Ravino concludes glimo machriz shma mino, that in the initial announcement of the item being found, the name of the item is actually mentioned. And then, of course, the owner would come back and then give the identifying sign, simonim, in the glima that he claims is his. Rava Omar. You can see that we've inverted our triangle, giving you the immediate feeling of an opposite approach, an alternative approach. Rava Omar filu temo avedeto machriz. Even if you take the approach of Avedat al Machriz, that is not contradicted by the fact that we don't have an extra day. Lo hitrichu rabbanan baveda yoiser midai. We saw this svara just a few lines above. We don't want to trouble the party who's tending to the lost item too much. Like 7 days after the holiday is enough time for us to trouble him to continue making the announcement, and that's it. Tonu Rabbonon, Regel Rishon Omer, the first of the three holidays over which time the announcement is made. So Regel Rishon, the announcer will say, this is the first holiday for the announcement regarding this item. Regel Sheni Omer, Regel Sheni, when the second holiday comes and it still hasn't been claimed by anybody, he says this is the second holiday that the announcement is being made. Regel Shlishi Oimer Stam, the third holiday that comes around, he doesn't say which number holiday it is for of announcements. He simply says, I found a lost item. The Rashi at the bottom line says, Shlishi Oimer Stam of Avego Motsosi. All he says is, I found a lost article. The Eino Oimer Eze Regel who Limitsi also, and he doesn't say which number holiday it is since it's finding. Kedei, why does he not say which number? Kedei shelo yismoicha oved al regel haba v'yavin shezel regel achron, so that he shouldn't rely and, let's say, be lazy, lackadaisical about recovering his item in reliance upon the next holiday, and therefore by not giving the number of the holiday, the owner should realize this is his last. This is the last holiday for him to be reminded of his lost article, and just to repeat it, not to rely on his. Even if he forgets, I have another holiday time during which to be reminded. The Gemara asks, "V'amai lema regel shlishi." Why not say this is the third holiday time? Answer: Delo osi lechlufi b'sheni. If he is expected to say the number on the third holiday, he might by mistake say the second holiday. Well, the Gemara asks, Sheni nami, when the announcement is made during the second holiday, is there not the possibility? We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Asya lechlufi b'rishon, he might by mistake say this is the first holiday since its finding. The Gemara says even if that happens, that's not so bad. Ha ka'osi regel shlishi. After that second holiday, which he may have mistakenly said is the first holiday, there nevertheless is a third holiday that follows during which he will be repeating the announcement. Tonu rabbanan b'rishona. Kol mi shemotza veda hoya machriz olel shloisha regalim v'achar regel achron shivas yomim. The old practice was that when an item was found, there would be an announcement made over the course of three holidays, and after the last holiday for 7 days, kedei shievich shloisha v'yavzu shloisha v'yachriz yoim echad. As we saw in our Mishnah, under Rabbi Yehuda's name, enough time for the owner to travel 3 days to his home, come back 3 days, 3 days of return travel, and the last day to make his claim. Mishachora Vesa Megdosh Shibona Bimhero Biomenu. Since the destruction of the temple, which we pray should be rebuilt rapidly in our time, Hiskinu shiu machrizim bebote knesius ubebote midrashas. The rabbis enacted that found items are announced in synagogues and Torah study centers. Umisharavu huanosim hiskinu shiu modiim l'shchenov ulemu da'av v'dayo. And with the preponderance or increase of anosim, which the Gemara will explain what that is in a moment, but when the situation of Anosim increased, the rabbis enacted that when you find something, you just tell your immediate neighbors and your friends, and that's it. In other words, the increase of Anosim presented a problem. My Misharavu Anosim. What is that a reference to? Answer, the Amri Avedita Lamalka. The Anosim were those that when a lost item was found, they would say, lost items go to the king. And of course, that would deprive the real owner of ever getting his item back. So when that took place, when that increased, it was for the benefit of the population, not to let its finding be too well known. Hence the limitation to the your immediate neighbors and your friends. Rabbi Ami Ashkach Udyo de Dinri. Rabbi Ami found a vessel full of gold coins. Chazye Hahu Barnosh de Komirtas. There's another version of the Gears in the Gemara, Bar Roimo. There was a Roman official that saw Rabbi Ami trembling. Amale, the Roman official, the Roman person said, Zil shkol nafshach, go take it, keep it for yourself. Don't worry about your finding being reported to the authorities. Delav parsoi anan, the Amri avedet olamalka. We're not Persians that had that edict that all lost items go to the king. So you don't have anything to worry about, that what you found would be confiscated. Tanu Rabbanan, Evan Toyin Hoiso B'Yerushalayim. There was a boulder in Yerushalayim. It was called Evan Toyin. The word Toyin, from the word Taina, a claim, the claim boulder. It was in Yerushalayim. Call me Sha'avdo Lo Yaveda. Anyone who lost an item, Nifne L'Sham, would turn to that location. V'chol mi she'moitzei aveda Nifne L'Sham. And anyone who found an item would appear there. Ze oimed umachriz v'ze oimed v'noisein simon v'noitla. The finder would stand there on this claim boulder and announce the finding of a lost item, and the owner would come and give identification marks and receive it. Vezuhi Shishoninu, it's regarding this particular boulder in Jerusalem that the following was stated, was taught. This phrase and this particular source is very abbreviated. There's a whole story that goes behind this story. And it has to do with the prayer for rain during a time of drought, and a bountiful amount of rain came, and it became so plentiful that it actually created the danger of flooding. And it was said then, if you want me to pray for the rain to stop, so he says in that particular story that's reported in Maseches Tainus, he says, Tzu uru im nimches even hatoyin. Go see if the even hatoyin, which is what we just referred to, if the even hatoyin has been eradicated, has been nimches, it would mean eroded. And the Tosfos at the very top, Evan Toyein, Meforish Birshami, Kishem Sha Evan Eino Yecholu Limchos, just like a stone doesn't become eroded, certainly not by water, not by, let's say, a heavy rainfall, Kach Ein Yecholu Mispal Rov Tova. So too, your request for me to stop to pray for the stoppage of the rain. The rain representing an expression of heavenly grace. That too is not in the cards. We don't pray for rov tov, for a great amount of good. We don't pray for its stoppage. The details of this particular discussion of when to pray, when to pray for things to stop, etc., is detailed in Maseches Tainis. But for our purposes, we're simply noting that the Even HaTayin was a, we'll call it a lost and found center, location, and it was in fact a prominent location in Jerusalem, as referred to by this story involving the excessive rainfall. The Mishnah, Omar es Suaveda, velo Omar es Simonel, lo yitein lo. If a person says I lost a particular item without giving the signs, identification marks, so the finder is not to give it to him. For Ramai, the underhanded one, afal pi sheomar simonel, even if he, someone who's not trustworthy, a trickster, in his case, even if he gives identification marks, lo yitein lo, do not give the item to him, to the Ramai. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, ad roish ochicha oisoi. And we learn from this, ad shetivroish es ochicha im Ramai hu im eino Ramai. You don't give it to the claimer until you investigate whether he is a Ramai or not, or an honest, trustworthy person. Itmar, here we have the machlokis that we saw in our previous discussion. At the bottom of Amud Aleph, we saw Ravina and Rava discussing what exactly is the initial announcement. So here we have two earlier Amoroyim. Itmar, Rav Yehuda Omar Avedeta Machriz, Rav Nachman Omar Glimo Machriz. So after seeing the opinions of Rav Yehuda, who says Avedeta, the general expression of an item was found, is the nature of the announcement, and Rav Nachman saying that the announcement is more detailed, where the name of specification of the item that was found is what is announced. Here we go over the opinions with further explanation. Rabbi Yehuda Omar Avedeta Machriz. All that is said is the general remark. Dei Amris Glimo Machriz. If you were to understand that the initial announcement is specific, well, Chayshinan L'Ramai. There is real reason to suspect a trickster coming along. Rashi, on the first narrow line, explains, Chayshina l'ramai, Shema Shoma Ha'oived Misoinein Bein Shechein, of the Ramai might have heard the real owner complaining amongst his friends, Talisi Ne'evda, I lost my talis. Vizeh Yoidea Es Simoneha, and the trickster just happens to know the identification marks on this, on the real owner's talis. Ukshiyishma es moitza machriz, and when the trickster hears the announcer saying talis motzasi, I found a talis. So this Ramai puts two and two together. Oh, this, I know the guy who lost the talis, and I know the different marks on his talis, and I just heard that a talis was found. Yokum v'yitein simoneha, the trickster will arise and claim the talis as his own and give signs. Hilkoch, therefore, Rav Yehuda concludes, Avedeta machris, the finder doesn't specify what item was found, simply an item was found. Oh, if that's all that is announced, v'eino noisein leiv loimar, and the Ramai isn't then going to start calculating talis zu avadati ve'elu simonel. He's not then going to go after hearing such a general statement that an item was found and say, you found this particular talus and these are its signs. There's too much of a, we'll say, a jump to be made on the part of the trickster if all that is announced is Avedita. So Rav Yehuda is telling us the nature of the initial announcement shall be one that doesn't attract connivers. Rav Nachman Omar Glimo Machris. Rav Nachman says, no, announce the type of item that was found, the glimo, which is a type of garment, in just as an example. And Laramai Lo Chayshinon. As far as worrying about underhanded people, that is not for us to concern ourselves with, to worry about, to suspect. Dimkein Ein Ladover Sof. Because otherwise, if that is what you're going to worry about, then there's no end to it. Meaning, even with the general statement, there is room to concern yourself with the Ramai coming forward and saying, if what you lost was a talis, then these are the signs. Therefore, as far as Rav Nachman is concerned, the Ramai suspicion doesn't play a part here, and therefore we're not taking any additional risk by having the item found specified. Tanan. The source opens up with what the claimer says. Omar Es Aveda, the one who is seeking the return of an item, he says what item was lost. V'lo Omar Es Simonah. And he doesn't give any identification marks. Hareza lo yitain lo. Don't give it to him. E amres bishlam avedata machriz. If you say that the initial announcement is one of a general nature, ha komash malon, the Mishnah reveals to us, af al gav de omar glimo, even though the claimer is more specific and he says it was a glimo garment. Ki lo omar simonin, in the absence of his telling us, sharing with us identification marks, lo madrin alei, we still don't give it to him. So that even though the toivea, the claimer, upgrades the information by his being more specific and saying, after hearing the general announcement, an item was found, claimer coming with a more specific statement, what was found was a glimo, and it's mine. We don't give it to him in the absence of his providing additional identification marks. Elo, e amris glimo machris. If you're going to say that the initial announcement is one identifying the item by name, then how are we to understand the Mishnah, the interplay over here? If the initial announcement is glimo, and the claimer is then saying what the item is, namely glimo, let's read this in the words: Ela iamas glimo machris. Omar ihu glimo. The one who finds it in the initial announcement would be saying, I found a glimo. The Omar ihu glimo. And the Tovea says, you found a glimo. Tzricha lememar, do I have to tell you, ki lo Omar simonim lo mahadrinale, that if he doesn't give us any additional information and he doesn't give us any identification marks, we don't give it to him? That's obvious. For him simply to parrot, for the owner to parrot that which was initially said and not give us any additional identification marks, I don't need the Mishnah to tell me that we don't give it to him. That's obvious. Omar Rav Safra, li'oilom glimo machris. In fact, we can say that in the case of the Mishnah, the initial announcement was of a specific nature, namely identifying the item, glimo. Omar ihu, the one who finds it, says glimo. The Omar ihu, the claimer, says simonim. He gives identification marks. Umay lo omar asimana. So then, what does the Mishnah mean by it saying he didn't give identification marks when you say that he actually does? The Mishnah is telling us lo omar simonim uvhokim dida. The claimer isn't giving us specific identification marks. It's something, let's say, detailed, precise identification marks. So even though the claimer is upgrading the information by telling us more than simply glima, that you found the glima, but he tells you it's a glima, and maybe he describes the color of it, or the general dimension of it. That's not called a simen mufak. It's not a clear enough simen for us to say that, yes, it's really yours. Because there are many people that have red glimas, if you will, or the many people that have size 42 glimas. V'horamai, afal pi, sh'omar es simonel reze lo itelo. This too we saw in the Mishnah, that if someone is a conniver, we don't give it, and even if he does give us the simonim. Tanu Rabbanan. Borishona, in the beginning, or at the outset, call me Sha'avda Lo Aveda Haya Noisein Simonim V'Noitla. Anyone who lost an item would be able to recover it by giving identification marks. Misharavu Haramoyin, when the cheats increased, Hiskinu Shu Oimrim Lo Tse Bave Edim Dalav Ramoy At Vitol. You bring witnesses, maybe we'll call them character witnesses, that you're not a cheat, and then you can have it. Kiha Diavu de Rav Papa, Yirchis Le Chamra, Vyashkihua. Like the incident involving the father of Rav Papa, he lost a donkey and it was found. Osla Kame de Rabba Bar Ravuna. And the case, the claim, came to Rabba's attention. Omar Le, Rabba said, Zilai Sisadi, Dalav Ramoy At Vitol. Bring witnesses that you're not a cheat, and then you're having given us identification marks, you can have it. Ozal Aisisadi. So the father of Rav Papa brought forth witnesses. Omar Luhu, Rabba Bar Ravuna asked them, Yadisun Bey de Ramoyhu. And here we're going to stick to a literal translation for the purposes of the continuation of the story. Rabba asks them, do you know him to be a chi? Amru le, the witnesses says, in, yes. So upon hearing that, you're hearing witnesses in effect saying he is a cheat. Omar Luhu, the father of Rapapa, says, Ano, Ramo, Ano. I'm a cheat. I'm an honest guy. How can you testify that I'm a cheat? Omrule, the witnesses says, Anan, Lav Ramoi at Komrinan. We said, you're not a cheat. Well, if you want to be literal regarding this give and take, initially they said yes to the question of, do you know him to be a cheat? And now they seem to be reversing their testimony. In general, there is a law regarding testimony that once witnesses testify, they cannot retract, they cannot change their testimony. What about in this story? Omar Rabba Bar Ravuna. He was the rabbi in charge of this incident. He says, Mistabro loimaisi inish chivsa lenavshe. It's most likely that a person would not bring upon himself a chiv, a deficit, a fault. So when he brought the witnesses, he knew what he knew they were going to testify on his behalf, and therefore their second statement is not considered a reversal. There was a fundamental misunderstanding, or as it goes with people, that people don't always listen so carefully to what is being asked. They surmised that the question posed to them was, can you verify that he is of fine character? Not the way it was actually presented to them. So they were initially responding to what they imagined they were being asked. And hence they imagined they were being asked, is this a man of good character? Or do you know him to be a non-cheat? And to that they said, yes. When in fact, in reality, the question was not that. Nevertheless, they were actually answering yes to the imagined question, do you know him to be of honest character? So that when they finally turned around and said, no, of course he's not a cheat, they were simply reiterating what they initially had intended to say. So it doesn't constitute a change in testimony. The Mishnah. Kol davar she'oise v'oichel. Items that are found. In this Mishnah, we'll speak in terms of animals. We'll use animal examples. And that will be very helpful for us as we go on in the Gemara. So they're kol davar, animal, anything, or in this case we'll say animals, that are productive. Their nature is one of productivity. Oxen are used for plowing. Chickens produce eggs, etc. So animals that are oisiv oichel, yas, and you found an animal like that, so then yaase v'yochal. We look at Rashi on the Mishnah. Kol davar she'oisev oichel im aveda zu davar she'yicholim la'achilo es schar maisov. If this is a kind of animal that you can feed it with, or by acquiring the food in exchange for its work. In other words, the animal can support itself, so to speak, that through its, what Rashi calls schar maisav, you can buy its food and feed it thusly. So do that. Kagon, shor v'chamor. Animals like an ox, a donkey, are animals that are that can be hired out, rented by others in the general population. You get money for that, and then buy food to maintain the lost animal. So, as Rashi says, "Kigon shor v'chamor yaseh v'yochal v'lo yimkor oisoi hamoitze him shohu bailov milidorshoi." And this approach is the proper alternative to otherwise having the finder sell the animal in the absence of an owner seeking its recovery immediately. Why is this the better approach? To keep the animal around, rent it out, have it do work, and in exchange for that, feed it. Shekol adam noyachlo bevehemto shikruboy kvar v'limdol rutzoinoi. Owners of animals prefer getting their own animal back after they have already in the past invested efforts in training the animal in to respond to his own commands. There's a type of personal connection, personal relationship between owner and animal that causes people to want to have their own animals back instead of the cash value. And in a case like this, the finder isn't going to be putting himself out financially for the maintenance of the animal. Thereby, it's what we call a win-win situation, where the finder isn't putting himself out to support the animal, and the owner is going to get back his actual animal. However, v'dover shein oisav oichel, animals that don't produce enough to, let's say, through which to maintain them, then yimocher, then the finder should sell the animal. Shenemar v'hashevosei loy. The pasuk uses that expression, v'hashevosei loy, and we learn from that, re'ei hech teshivenu lo. And we once again glance in Rashi, re'ei hech teshivenu lo, shelo ta'achilenu chatzi domov. We don't want a situation where the finder is going to lay out so much money during the duration that he is caring for it, lay out half its value in food costs. Of course, when he returns the animal, he's going to be demanding restitution or compensation for all that he had laid out. What kind of return is there when you're going to give back the lost item to the owner, and at the same time that owner is going to have to lay out all the costs that he will compensate you for all the costs that you laid out for it. Shein kein ein zu hashava. If that's the case, then you're not really returning anything to the owner. Now we continue with the Mishnah, continuing with this idea that there are items, in this case animals, that one cannot hire it out and thereby pay for its food, and the only alternative therefore is for the finder to sell the animal and keep the money in anticipation of the owner coming back for his lost item. Ma yehe bedomim. What is to be with regard to the money that the finder of the item acquires after the sale of the animal? Rabbi Tarfon Omer yishtamesh bohen. Now, this phrase is, though it's very easy to translate the word, I can only tell you in anticipation of the Gemara on Daf Chof Tes, that the literal translation might not have value when it comes to the final explanation offered in the Gemara. So with that disclaimer in mind, the literal translation, Rabbi Tarfon says, the finder can use the money. Look, in the meantime, the owner hasn't come around, so if you want to use the money as a type of loan that you entitle yourself to, go ahead. Lefikach, therefore, im avdu chayov bach yuson. If the money gets lost, bear in mind, once again, it's not your money, it's money that belongs to someone else who in the meantime hasn't come to claim it. And Rabbi Tarfon says you can use the money. Therefore, as a guard, as a shomer, we have in the rules of guard, of guarding, of shomer, of bailey, we have four different categories of shomrim. We have someone who watches something gratis. He's called a shomer chinam. We have someone who's paid for his watching of it. And we have a renter of an item. And we have also a borrower of an item. In the case of someone who watches for nothing, he watches, meaning gratis, no pay, if the item is stolen or is lost, as long as he doesn't behave in a reckless fashion, which we call posheya, shia, he's not obligated to compensate if it gets lost. If, however, let us say you are paid to watch an item, or you get benefit from the item that you're watching, then you have a higher level of obligation. So Rabbi Tarfon says, you can use the money, yishtamesh b'hen, use the money, Therefore, im oftu, if it should get lost, you, as the shomer of it, chaybat reason, you have an obligation to compensate, to pay for it. Rabbi Akiva omer lo yishtamesh bohen. Rabbi Akiva says, you're not allowed to use, you shall not use the money that you got for the sale of the lost article. Lefikach im ovdu, since you're not allowed to use it, if it got lost, ein chayov b'achriyuson. You're not obligated to compensate. The Gemara asks, Uli Oilom, and forever? What do we mean by that? So Rashi says, Uli Oilom v'chi ad Oilom zokuk ze letapil b'terach shmira. Is the obligation of caring for someone's lost animal forever? Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Shmuel ad Yud Beis Chodesh. The expectation is for you to continue the care of the lost animal for 12 months. I think we should assume for the time being that the details of this 12-month figure of time will be clarified by the Gemara as we go on. So Rav Nachman in the name of Shmuel says that the watching and the care of the animal is up till 12 months. Tanya Nami Hochin. We have a Tanaic source that in which you find the 12-month time frame listed. In this source, different animals will be presented. And after we go through the source, there happen to be some markings in the source that are of importance, but their importance is for the Gemara that appears after this four-lined framed section. So initially, let's read through the source, and you'll see immediately the 12-month figure appearing. Kol davar she'oisev eichel, kagon para v'chamor, all animals that are productive, like the cow and the donkey, metapel ben ad yud beis chodesh. So then, the expectation is that you shall care for it up till 12 months. Mikan v'elech, beyond that, shom demayim. Shom is a word indicating assessment. Maybe you're familiar with the word shuma. An assessment is made, and they're sold, and the money that you get for it, umanichon, and you leave the money aside. Just you leave it there, waiting for the owner to claim it. Agolim usyochim, calves and syochim, these are young animals, a young donkey, syoch, metapel behen shloisha chadoshim. The time frame of caring for it is up till 3 months. Mikan ve'elech, the same procedure of shom, demeyan, umanichon. Avozim v'tarnagulin. Avozim is a type of fowl, and tarnagolim are roosters, male chickens, roosters. Metapil bohen shloishim yoim. Mikan ve'elech shom demeyan umanichon. Take note of the two types of underlining that you see here. You have a dash underline and a dot underline. The dash underline highlights the type of animal, and the dot underline highlights the time frame. These markings are going to be helpful when we continue in the Gemara, pointing out what would initially appear to be a contradiction. Omar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, Tarnagolis kebehema gasa. The time frame with dealing with a female chicken, as opposed to a rooster, is the same time frame as a behema gasa. Behema gasa is an animal that, like a large animal, like the cow, the ox that we described earlier, those are animals that are productive. And their time frame is 12 months. Likewise, the chicken can be supported through the egg laying. Therefore, keep it around up till 12 months as far as you're having to lay out money, and as we indicated earlier, the actual owner being put out to having to compensate you for all that you laid out for it is a non-factor here, because the animal will produce enough output to support itself. So Rav Nachman says that the chicken, the tarnagulis, is also 12 months, like the behemoth gas, like the large animals. And we bring a Tanaic source that supports that point. However, in the course of the Tanaic source, we're going to see time frames regarding the other kinds of animals that don't align with the first source. But the initial reason for bringing this source in is to focus on the tarnagulis. So it says here, and we say Tanya Nami Hochi, we have a Brisa, a Tanaic source that supports Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, who is an Amora. It says Tarnagulis Ubei Magasa Metapol Behen Shnei Moser Chodesh, and the focus here was on the Tarnagulis, is treated also 12 months. Mikan Ve'elech Shom Demeim Umanichan. And the source goes on, and here is where we will eventually point out our contradiction. Agolim usiyachim mitablehen shloishim yom mikan ve'elech shom demeim umanichon. Regarding agolim and siyachim, the care time 30 days. Can you compare this to what you saw in the previous source regarding agolim and siyachim? So all you do is you search out the dashed underline before where they were featured, and now compare the dot underline that followed in the first source. There you saw shloisha chadashim, 3 months, and here you see 30 days. We continue in the source, mikan ve'elech shom demeim manichon. Avozim v'tarnagolim. Again, these were in the previous source as well. Tarnagolim, not to be confused with tarnagolis. Tarnagolim are roosters. V'chol davar she'tipulo merubo mischaro, and all other creatures that the investment in their care is more than whatever they would produce. Metapol ben shloisha yomim. The time frame for their care is 3 days. Beyond that, mikan ve'elech shom demeim manichon, you assess their value and sell them. Kashya agolim usyochim, agolim usyochim. First contradiction involves those animals. In the first source, you saw 3 months for agolim usyochim, and here in the second source, 30 days. Another problem, avozim v'tarnagolim, avozim v'tarnagolim. In the first source, you saw 30 days, and in the second source, you saw 3 days. The Gemara answers point for point. Agolim usyochim, agolim usyochim, lo kashya. Regarding the time frame for calves and young donkeys, there is no contradiction. Ha deraya, ha defatuma. The 3 month figure applies in circumstances or under circumstances where you have rich grazing land in your vicinity, so that your care for it, your outlay, your care, your trouble for them isn't so great. So keep them around for 3 months. In under fituma circumstances, fituma is where you have to feed it. In other contexts, the word fituma means fatten it up. But in our context, it means where you don't have rich grazing land around it, and you have to provide for its food, which is costly. There, in a case like that, then keep it around for 30 days. When we just not to make any mistake, when we say costly, it doesn't mean necessarily that that's it, that you have to lay out the money and it's your loss as the finder of the item. But even though compensation is going to be made, it's not to the benefit of the original owner to get back his item and at the same time have to pay to lay out so much money for the for what you have to lay out to care for it. Continuing in our resolving of the contradictions, avozim v'tarnagol, avozim tarnagolim nami lo kashya, regarding those bird care times, no contradiction. Ha baravrvi, ha bezutri. Rashi says what he does, and the Gra quotes the Rambam, who seems to have an opposite approach. So we don't have to commit ourselves to either opinion. All we have to say is that the time frame depends on whether it's Ravravi, if it's large. If they're large geese and roosters, then one standard applies. Hub is a tree. If they're small, then the other time standard applies. V'she'ena oisav oichel, those kind of creatures that don't produce enough to cover their maintenance costs. Tanu rabona v'hashev oisav loy. The pasuk says that when you are caring for a lost item and eventually return it, check out, see, calculate how to make the best kind of return. Shelo yachil egil agolim, l'syoch l'syochem, avozim l'avozim, v'tarnagol l'tarnagolim. You shouldn't reach a situation where you're laying out so much food for each animal that an amount that represents the value of the animal itself. As we said earlier, that's if you end up doing that, you're causing a type of setback to the original owner when he comes to claim his item, and he finds himself having to pay you for having laid out so much money for its maintenance. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.